Now that the PROs are coming, we need to be well informed of what we are dealing so that when we sit down on the table, we are able to negotiate or agree on terms that make economic sense.
My name is Patrick Hübscher, and this is Circularity FM, the podcast about understanding, building, and managing circular business models.
Welcome back to Circularity FM and our series on circular entrepreneurship in Kenya. This episode takes us to E-Waste Initiative Kenya, or EWIC. We first hear from Jane Moriti and her colleagues about EWIC's model for e-waste collection, refurbishment, and resale, as well as their technical training institute. The episode continues with final words by Tu Lawrence, executive director of EWIC. He talks about their research activities mapping Kenya's e-waste value chain. But before we start, I have an offer for you. If you want to get the actionable one-pager about these conversations, please sign up for the Circularity FM newsletter. You can find it at www.circularity.fm. So thanks for having me here. Before we start, it would be great to know who you are. So Jane, maybe you can start personally. Who are you? What's your role at EWIC?
Hey, I am Jane Moriti. At EWIC, I play the role of a collections personnel. That is the e-waste collection. I go to client sites, do the collection, do the documentation at the client site. That's what my role includes.
Wonderful. So now, what is EWIC? What are you doing?
E-Waste Initiative Kenya is an NGO that handles e-waste management. E-Waste Initiative Kenya was founded in the year 2012 and then registered under the NGO board in 2016, which is currently the PBO board. So what E-Waste Initiative Kenya does, we do the e-waste management for organizations and also for the individuals. We do skills training. For example, Peter is our student here. We also do research related to e-waste mismanagement and also management, and also the repercussions of mismanaging your electronic waste. And lastly, we do awareness creation and partnerships. Yeah, so that's who EWIC is.
Okay. Yeah. And when we talk about e-waste, can you give some examples? So where does e-waste start and where does it end for you?
Okay, e-waste starts from when you as the consumer are done with your electronic, it becomes, to you, it becomes a waste. That's where e-waste comes in. To another person, e-waste may be whenever you've dismantled your equipment, you do take the repairable parts, the reusable parts, and also the unusable parts becomes now the waste. That is for the repairers. So there are two definitions of e-waste, one for the consumer and the other one for the repairer.
And what are the sources? So let's focus first on your e-waste management and treatment, and then second one, the training. So for the e-waste management, where do you get your e-waste from?
Most of the producers of e-waste are the households because we mostly deal with the informal sector. So we do get our electronic waste from the households, from companies, agencies, for example, embassies. We do also manage their waste.
And when you mention households, so how do they bring their e-waste here, or do you collect it from them? Do you have collection points? How does that work?
We have some collection points, and we also do go for the waste at their houses. Whichever works for you. Mostly, the consumers prefer when we go to their houses to collect the waste due to logistics.
And talking logistics, do you cover the whole of Kenya?
Currently, we are in Nairobi, Kiambu, Bungoma, Mombasa, and Kisumu.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then you do your tour planning a bit, how it fits. So it's not that if a consumer calls you that tomorrow you will pick it up. You will bundle some tours, or how long does it take to pick it up from the consumer?
Mostly if you've already done the documentation, it takes 48 hours. What we've done in those counties, we have partners. We have some setups whereby if you call us and you are in Mombasa, we have someone in Mombasa who will come to you and collect the waste from your household instead of coming all the way from Kiambu to Mombasa, and that may create a negative value to the organization, to the company. Most of the dismantling happens there in Mombasa, so we do get the parts.
Talking about dismantling and parts, so what kind of R strategies do you apply at IWIC?
So once we collect the waste from whichever source, we do have our receiving area, then our testing area. There is usually the pathway recommendation, repair, refurbishment, reusing, recycling. So for the ones that can be repaired, they usually go to the repairing site. For the ones that needs total dismantling, we have a dismantling site whereby the manual dismantling takes place. After dismantling, that's when the components harvesting takes place.
And when you repair something and it is in good condition, again, do you sell it? And how do you sell it?
Yes, we do sell. We have a site in Ngara where the reselling takes place. And we also have our own clients whom we do sell to. But mostly we do sell to the repairers.
And when it's not possible to repair anymore, then you dismantle it? And what happens to specific components?
Okay, various components are taken through various channels. For example, the plastics, they are used to make the plastic cabros and also the plastic poles. We have the motherboards, which are exported because currently in Kenya, we don't have the capacity to extract the precious metals in the motherboards. We have the screens, which are right now referred to as the problematic fractions because they do not create any positive value. Rather, they bring just negative values.
In that case, what do you do with the screens?
We are looking into purchasing a machine that will be repairing the screens.
And then if we go even further down, we talked about cables and copper. So what do you do with these kind of components?
For the cables, we do the stripping, either the manual way using a technician's knife to strip off the cable. And we are currently doing research on boiling the cables using used oil. That is reusing the oil to extract pure cable instead of doing it the manual way of cutting using the technician's knife. For the shields, right now there is a market for the outside shields and also there is a market for copper. But currently in Kenya, copper is a problem. It's associated with theft.
Ah, okay.
Because of the KPLC poles.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it kind of means that if you have copper, you have to make sure that you sell it fast?
Not really fast, but it depends with the kind of copper you have. Ours is purely from the cables, such as the power cables, the phone charging cables. So that one is safe.
So basically the problem with theft is that you have to make sure and demonstrate that this is like from the cables where you get like an authorized, legit source. Okay, gotcha. And on the company side, you also mentioned you're managing e-waste and technical equipment for companies. How does that look like?
Before companies release their waste, they want to be sure that they will get, one, a certificate of destruction to ensure that the materials that were collected from their site were recycled in an environmentally sound way. Also, they want to get a report on how the materials were used. Maybe if it's the past, how did you use the parts? And also, they want to know that you are legible and you are registered and you are recognized by the government to do recycling.
And is there like a growing demand for companies to do it?
Yes, there is a growing demand for companies to do it because one thing, we do data destruction. Before companies release their waste to you, they want to be sure that their data is safe with you. So what we do on-site destruction, And some companies prefer we do offsite destruction. That is, we come with the machines to our site and we do the data destruction here. But we always prefer doing it on site for trust issues. And that way you are sure that the machine that you give to us has no data. So there is no chance of your data leaking to the outside world.
Let's switch a bit to the training aspect. You mentioned at the beginning that you also offered certified training. Why did you start that?
Due to the growing rate of e-waste, we decided to begin a technical training institute, that is e-waste technical academy, which offers training on e-waste management and also ICT repair and maintenance. So whenever a student onboards with us, we want to be sure that the course that you've decided to do is what you are sure about. So what we basically do, we will send you on 2 weeks field work. You go interact with the technicians outside there. You see the kind of work they do. And then when coming back, you are at least sure that this is what you want to do. And if you feel that, no, this is not what I want to do, from the 2 weeks, you can now go. We remain with the ones who are sure that they want to do the either ICT repair and maintenance or e-waste course. That way, we reduce the number of dropouts once the training starts.
And how long does it last, the training?
The training lasts for 6 months, and you have 3 months internship.
Okay. And who are the people who attend, and who are the organizations who pay for the training?
We try to partner with different organizations to get funding for the students, because mostly this is a slow growing area. So parents will not basically afford the fee to pay for the student, but the student is willing to learn. So what we do, we will partner with organizations, try to get something, try also to talk to the parent. And also with our e-waste management kitty, we get to also fund some of the students who are so much willing, but their parents do not have the money to pay for the tuition fee.
And the training is actually the thing that's also happening here on the ground where we're sitting right now.
Yeah, this is our technical training institute, but we also host our mother organization, that is e-waste Initiative Kenya.
We talked about also the, what you mentioned at the beginning, that you're aware of the social component, so taking care of single mothers or so. So what do you do there, and how does it look like?
Okay, we do onboard youth mostly. And what we always encourage is having the young mothers come join us, come train with us. You don't have to basically do e-waste or ICT repair and maintenance for you to study with us. Once in a while, we do offer free entrepreneurship training to them. And we also offer counseling sessions to them. So that's how we are able to engage the young mothers, by offering entrepreneurship training, other sorts of short courses that may last up to 5 days, and also the counseling sessions and mentorship also.
And like for young mothers, it's often a challenge to have childcare. So what happens to the kids during that time?
We have a kid area there whereby the kids, they have a person to play with whenever the mother is in a session. They have someone to play with, and also we provide them with toys and snacks.
Okay. So they can already play the e-game?
Yeah, they do play. We have someone who is able to interact so well with them, someone who is able to understand the kids, so that when the parent is in session, she's not so much disrupted by the kid. Mm-hmm. And also if we have a young mother who has a suckling baby, we also have a space for them here. We currently uprooted the grass here. This is where they usually sit. You suckle your baby, you leave her or him with us, then you go back to class.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
And when we look into the future, so where do you see e-waste Initiative Kenya in the next 3 years? What are your plans?
In the next 2 years, we see eWIC as one of the, if not the largest, is one of the largest recyclers in Kenya and also in East Africa, with a big capacity for both training, research, and also e-waste management. Yes, so we are going up the ladder.
And what does it need to get there to reach that ambition?
First, we need the equipment. We don't have the equipment. For example, a hard disk shredder. We do it the manual way, which consumes a lot of time. And also, we need a hard disk shredder, which can also be used to shred plastics. Instead of taking them to other sites, we can do it here. Also, we are looking into purchasing or having a partner whom we can purchase the screen repair machine with for us to be, but it's like a co-shared workspace to be located in Ngara, because Ngara, we have a presence in Ngara. We have our sub-office there. And also Ngara, most of the technicians usually go there to source maybe either components. Yeah, so if we can have it situated in Ngara, that will be great to reduce the increase in screen waste.
Thanks for sharing your experience, giving us insights into eWIC and your journey and your practices, and all the best for your ambition.
Thank you.
Before we talk about partnerships, can you tell us a bit more about the research activities eWIC is doing?
Okay, our sector, e-waste management, has very little or no data. So we formed a department for research and development to understand the pathways and how people treat waste. And this we start by the generators, the uptake value chain, and this includes from collection, transportation, segregation, processing, reuse models, recovery of reusable resources to the point of disposal. And we want to have a backward traceability of the circularity model to see who is plugged where, who is doing what, and what gaps are there in terms of capacity building. Or is it that we have a type of waste that we are not able to handle and what we can do? So it's a holistic kind of research where we research on how items can be best designed in the sense that they are eco-friendly and towards their end of life, they can be managed in a proper manner. And it's going to also to be easy to do the same. And now that the PROs are coming, we need to be well informed of what we are dealing so that when we sit down on the table, we are able to negotiate or agree on terms that make economic sense. Again, we are looking at volumes, and these volumes will be clustered and categorized in a manner that we have different brands. We have brands which are similar. Then we have the six categories of waste and their affluence also, because if the packaging materials came with these electronics, then we need to handle them in such a manner that we do not only take care of the electronics, but also the other materials that came with this type of electronics. And a good example is a styrofoam, which is a bit hard to handle within the African space. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And one more follow-up question on that one is, how do you collect this data? So how does it look like?
We have a two-approach methodology. We do qualitative and also quantitative, where we engage different stakeholders in focus group discussions, and also do one-on-one interviews. And also we look at all the stakeholders involved. This could be government, civil society, the general public. We also look at the value chains in a different manner. Those who, like, if, I don't know whether you did look at our report that we did recently. We had even academic background. There are many dynamics on how people are socialized, how they are well knowledgeable on what they are dealing with, and many other features that we may want to have a look at. But most importantly is that it's both quantitative and qualitative.
Okay. I will add the link to the report in the show notes so that the listeners who are interested can have a deep dive on that one.
Yes.
Let's zoom out again. So you told us a bit more about the research activities, the colleagues I mentioned, the collection, the repair, and so on. What kind of international partners are you looking for?
We would love to have international partners who would be able to give us support in several areas. And the one and which is most important is the research bit and the publication of the studies that we have done or conducted. Two is capacity building and empowerment, because there is a lot of green jobs opportunities within the same space. And also infrastructure support, mainly because the type of resources that you need to put infrastructure are heavy. If we get partners who are able to give us that kind of support, we'd really appreciate. And lastly, but not least, I've had the privilege of going to a lot of countries to do benchmarks and all that. And it has really helped me to shape up the industry. And based on that, I would also look for partners who would be able to support on exchange programs between North and South for the industry players, especially for the recyclers, to be able to benchmark and see what other countries are doing, despite the fact that at the end of the day, we need localized solutions on how we handle our waste locally. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Tu, what's the best way to reach you?
We have our website. It's www.ewik.org. My email is mthuo@ewik.org. But I can also share my number. It's +254 722 969 219.
Wonderful, too. So let's hope people reach out to you. Thanks for the opportunity to speak to you and to your team, and good luck with scaling up ewik.
Thank you.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of our series on circular entrepreneurship in Kenya. If you want to get the actionable one-pager about this conversation, sign up for the Circularity FM newsletter. You can find it at www.circularity.fm. Let's drive a profitable circular economy. And please don't forget, the most abundant renewable resource is your imagination.
My name is Patrick Hübscher, and this is Circularity FM, the podcast about understanding, building, and managing circular business models.